Now the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good morning and welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. With the president's own internal polling showing him trailing former Vice President Joe Biden in Wisconsin, Florida, and Pennsylvania, the president resorted to his usual claims. Fake news.
Mr. President, are you concerned about your internal polling as it relates to Joe Biden?
No, because we have great internal polling. There were fake polls that were released by somebody that is, it's ridiculous. No, we are winning in every single state that we've polled. We're winning in Texas very big. We're winning in Ohio very big. We're winning in Florida very big. They were fake polls that were either put out by the corrupt media, because much of the media in this country, unfortunately, is corrupt. I have to tell you that, Mr. President. And some of it is excellent, but some is very bad. Those are fake numbers. But you know when you're going to see that? You're going to see that on Election Day. On Election Day, you're going to see. It was the same thing. I had the same thing for...
Some of your advisors said
I had the same thing for a long period of time in 2016. I was getting these terrible poll numbers, and I didn't see it, because I'd have tremendous crowds, and my opponent would have almost nobody. And I said, I think we're going to win the state of Michigan. We did. I think we're going to win the state of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and we won them all. And now I have the same stuff. They're giving out phony polls. No, these are polls that we have that nobody saw. We do very little polling because I'm not a huge believer in polling. I think you go out there and you fight and you don't really need polls. You need ideas more than polls. But we have some internal polling, very little, and it's unbelievably strong. The strongest I've ever been is exactly today.
So he terms it fake news, but that is until the Trump campaign confirmed that the polling data being reported by ABC News was indeed internal polling data from the Trump campaign. The Trump campaign did say, though, that it was old data from March and that the president's support has grown since then. Well, we're going to move things much more local now, and joining me here in the Allstate Skyline studio is my Tribune colleague, John Byrne, City Hall correspondent. Mr. Byrne, thank
morning.
You so much for joining me this morning.
Happy Father's Day.
And to you as well. I appreciate you coming in because I've been spending the last several weeks, I think, with a focus on Springfield.
Right on.
Given the end of session, yep. And J.B. Pritzker's first session as governor. But I think, you know, it's time to take a bit of an assessment now, a month in office, for all practical purposes.
Yeah, Wednesday's the month of the inauguration for Mayor Lightfoot, I think.
And... what is the relationship between the mayor's office and this city council?
Well, I think I would say evolving. I think the city council is still trying to figure it out. And I think that as a new mayor who's coming in and trying to get her feet under her, she's trying to figure it out, too. Clearly, there's a feeling that she's going to be different from her predecessor, but Emanuel was this consummate political guy and was...
Well, you knew what you were getting
to an extent, yeah. And you had her running as an outsider and attacking the establishment, which had aldermen back on their heels. And then she came into office, and some aldermen I know that I've spoken to have been surprised that she seems serious about continuing those attacks. They figure, all right, you won. Time for us all to do our thing where we get along, and she's still pressing forward with this very serious move to root out corruption, which is what, you know, she wins as this outsider who's going to root out corruption. And I think there were a fair number of aldermen who figured that, all right, come on, it's
okay,
the campaign's
right.
Over. Let's do the thing where we get together and let bygones be bygones. And you know, she's a former federal prosecutor. She's not a politician, and she's still treating them in this. Well, no, I mean, you guys are bad news, and they're sort of taken aback by that.
Well, when I was down in Springfield for the end of session, everybody on the House and Senate floor was talking about her smackdown of Alderman Ed Burke.
Oh, man. Yeah.
As kind of the introductory salvo.
Right, right. He stood up and talked about the use of he or she as the pronouns in the city council rules. And I wonder, I almost wonder whether he was trying in a way to acknowledge the fact that we have a woman who's mayor, and very clumsily trying to make some statement about, well, we should use the pronoun she in these rules. But she was clearly ready for him to try something on that first day, and as soon as he stood up, she did. She put him in his place and said, "I'll call on you when I want to hear from you." He's used to kind of orating from the floor, even in his diminished under indictment role. I think he figured, "Well, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say some Burke things about the history of Chicago and blah blah blah."
Sure, I'm the dean.
Right. And my many decades. Here we are, and she cut him off short and sat him down, and that was an indication of how things were going to go.
And I guess, was that also maybe to set a tone?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She was putting her cards on the table. This is how things are going to be here now. And then there was another incident at her second meeting during the public
comment.
Speaking mm-hmm. section at the beginning of the meeting. Emanuel was very detached from that. He would be holding private meetings up at the front while people were at the microphone airing their grievances. Lightfoot is up there taking notes and has talked to a couple of people. And then this guy from the FOP got up there, Pat Murray, the vice president of the FOP. And he said, he was speaking directly to the mayor and said, "You need to bring us to the table. We need to have a better relationship. You'll have a hard time getting done what you need to get done if you don't work with the Fraternal Order of Police." And as soon as he finished speaking, she dressed him down on the floor from the dais, said, "If you guys are obstructionists, if you want to stop obstructing reform, I'll be happy to meet with you, but you haven't shown any indication that you're going to do that." People applauding and yelling stuff in the chambers. It was something else.
"I'll call you. Don't call me."
Yeah. No, it was a definite, she was putting her cards on the table with them in a very, very public way. And we've seen this. She's, whereas,
don't go there just yet, right, because okay, I want to ask you about, okay, yes, as we talk about tone and tenor.
Got it.
From the new mayor. We're speaking with John Byrne, my Tribune colleague who covers City Hall. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by my good friend and Tribune colleague, John Byrne. He covers City Hall. We're talking about the first month of Mayor Lori Lightfoot's tenure and about setting tone and tenor. And she seems to be getting involved in sometimes extraneous arguments.
Right. Yeah. There, you know, it's different to be, as you and I were discussing, it's different to be an outsider who's running as an outsider and is free to sort of pick your, to fight in many different fronts and to be the mayor
and speak for the city.
Speak for the city. Yeah. Yeah. There have been a few instances where maybe she wishes she had, kept her powder dry rather than publicly, and she's been very accessible, and she's been, you know, you go to events and she'll turn to the media and start taking questions almost, you know, several times a day even. So it's been refreshing, but from our perspective, but I wonder if her staff is wishing that she had, you know, kept some things to herself occasionally
and maybe messaging.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, she's got a staff. They're trying to figure things out too. But yeah, she says what's on her mind. It seems like there was this incident with Riccio, who went on vacation, the second in command of the police department, and she apparently had issued a directive that the top white shirts, should not be going on vacation during the summer. He had vacation scheduled to Aruba, and she stopped short of saying his job was in jeopardy, but sort of publicly said, like, maybe his job's in jeopardy. So now she's in a situation where she's fighting with him and with Eddie Johnson, the superintendent, who okayed the vacation for Riccio, and so now it just seems like it's a difficult situation for her now. Does she go ahead and fire the guy? Does she say, on second thought, I'm not going to fire him? I don't know.
Aren't there other battles to fight?
You know, she says it's important to her, but that these guys be on duty during the summer, and I understand that. But yes, right, maybe there are other battles that she would rather be fighting right now than trying to decide whether she's going to follow through on firing the second command at the police department for taking a vacation he had scheduled back in October. I don't know.
Well, and one of those battles is the state's or the city's finances. And the story that you wrote that you kindly let me help you with.
You carried that
today.
Story, Rick. Thank you.
But you know, it wasn't shortly, you know, after her victory that she went to Springfield and talked about...
With much fanfare.
And spoke to both the House and Senate, and was hitting the ground running, going to have a menu list of things that I need help from Springfield, even at one point almost sounding like a veiled threat, like if you want a graduated income tax, you're going to need my help.
Right, that whole we go first.
We go first.
Right.
And so we get to Springfield, and really find out there really wasn't any menu there were some things. I mean, winning a casino for Chicago was certainly significant.
Certainly. Not going to help this year, though.
Well, that's it. It's nothing. And yes, the graduated income tax proposal goes on the ballot in 2020.
Not going to help this year.
Not going to help.
Right.
And so now it's, well, be prepared to go to the well.
And the well is, as we've all learned so well these past few years, tends to be the property tax.
Right. And the most hated tax.
Right.
Of all.
Right. And there are lots of people on the city council who are saying, you know, she's going to, and we'll see. The city council talks a big game, these guys.
especially now, in some regards.
Talk a big game, yes. And they usually fall in line. But they're saying, you know, she's coming on really strong on this whole idea of cleaning us up and hitting us for being corrupt. Let's see how she feels about the way she's treating us when she comes to us in a few months and asks us to raise property taxes by $700 million or whatever it's going to be, you know? And
right.
She's going to have to round up votes, and she's doing a lot of the hammering us and far too little of the velvet glove approach to getting us on her side. So we will see.
Show some love to the city council.
Show some love. I'm sure if you said that
I never thought I would ever utter those words.
Right. No, and she, you know, she's not a politician. If you said that to her, she would probably theatrically roll her eyes and give an exasperated sigh and say, these people are, you know, they need to clean up their act.
Right. Well, John Byrne, City Hall correspondent for the Chicago Tribune, keeping an eye on everything going on over there, or as best he can.
As best I can.
And it's not always in plain eyesight either, I might add. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.